السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم، وجاعل النور من الظلم، ومخرج الصبر من الألم، وملقي التوبة على الندم. فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم، ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم ذي الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم، سيد ولد آدم، الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم، ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم، فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم. فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله، أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. ثم أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: سنفرغ لكم أيها الثقلان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان، يا معشر الجن والإنس إن استطعتم أن تنفذوا من أقطار السماوات والأرض فانفذوا لا تنفذون إلا بسلطان، فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. اللهم لا تجعلنا من المكذبين، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، آمين يا رب العالمين. In this brief khutbah that I'd like to share with so many young people here today, I'd like to focus all of my attention on a small scene described on Judgment Day from Surah Ar-Rahman. And Surah Ar-Rahman, I think many of you know that the word Ar-Rahman is one of the beautiful names of Allah, one of the most powerful names of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it makes reference to Allah's love, Allah's care, and Allah's mercy. And the fact that Allah gives gifts with no strings attached. Anybody who will give you things in life, let me tell you, I'm old enough now, I have enough experience to tell you, when people give things to you in life, most of the time, there's a string attached. They want something from you. And when they give you something, they want something in return. It's always going to be the case. As a matter of fact, even in the most loving relationships, if your mother does something for you just sheer out of love, even if she won't ask, she expects something in return. She expects your love in return. She expects your respect in return. She expects your obedience in return, even if she won't ask for it. The feeling is still going to be there. But Allah Azza wa Jal gives and He gives and He gives. And He even gives to the one who doesn't respond at all to Him, who doesn't care anything about Him, He still gives them. There are people who never remember Allah, never thank Him for anything. As a matter of fact, there are people who even curse Allah and use filthy language against Allah. And moreover, they even use filthy language against the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And He even gives them air to breathe, and He lets them, their hearts continue to beat. And He allows them to still continue to drink and eat. He does that. They're not in control of their heartbeats, He is. But He does that for them. But you know what? There are some people who, even though they recognize the things that Allah is doing for them, it's really hard for them to accept that all of the things that they have is not actually from themselves. It's not something that they just deserve or they're entitled to, that they are given as gifts from Allah. Young people reach a certain age where they become really, really obsessed with themselves. Really obsessed. You start caring a lot about how you look. You start caring a lot about, you know, maybe the brand of clothes that you're going to wear. You start thinking a lot about even the kind of book bag you're going to bring to school. I can't take that one. Everybody's going to make fun of me. Or maybe a friend of yours has the new iPhone, and now your iPhone looks like a dinosaur, and you can't show your face in society anymore because you're behind everybody else. You start comparing yourself to other people. Right? And all the time you're constantly comparing yourself to someone else, and you start thinking, I don't have what this person has. I'm not as tall as that one. I'm not as, you know, good looking as this one. I'm not as rich as that one. I don't have the things that this one has. And you're constantly thinking about what you don't have. And when you're constantly thinking about what you don't have, it becomes very difficult for you to be grateful. It becomes very difficult for you to think about the fact that Allah is taking care of you, that Allah is giving you things that you can't imagine, that you can never count. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Because all of your time is spent thinking about what you don't have. This is actually the very definition of ingratitude. An ungrateful person is not necessarily someone who comes out and says, I am ungrateful to Allah. Nobody says that. No Muslim says that. But when someone's always complaining, when someone's always whining, when someone's always depressed that they don't have something, when someone's always negative, they're always thinking about the negative, and they're never appreciative of what they actually have. You have health. There are millions of children around the world that are in hospitals, that have been in accidents, that can't walk anymore. You have the gift of health. You have the gift of your tongue, your speech. You have the gift of your eyes. You have the gift of parents. You know, for the vast majority of you, alhamdulillah, your parents are alive. That's a gift from Allah. That's not something to undermine. But you start taking these things for granted. A lot of you guys have, and girls have, you know, like a PlayStation at home. You know, maybe a PlayStation 3. How embarrassing, you don't have a PlayStation 4. You should make istighfar for that one. You know, it's like, you don't, and you keep thinking, man, I wish I had that. I wish I had the new one. That new game came out, I don't have it. My friends have already played it. That's how your mind is running all the time. And this is as you as kids. But guess what? If you don't fight this now, and if you don't make this normal now, when you become adults, you'll turn into the most greedy adults on the planet. All you're thinking about is yourselves. And you know the great turmoil on the planet, the great wars that are happening, the corruption that's happening, the pollution that's happening on the planet, all the problems of the planet, you know what they go back to? They go back to one disease, and that one disease is greed. People want more for themselves. They're not happy with what they have. Companies want more for themselves. They're not happy with how much they already make. So they don't care if they're gonna pollute rivers and lakes so long as they can make more money. Governments want more control for themselves. Doesn't matter how many people they kill, you know? So you have, this is where it comes to. All those people that are doing these terrible things, there was a time when they were kids. There was a time when they were kids. And when they were kids, their greed went unchecked. And now that they're adults, their greed has gone crazy. So we Muslims, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we are people that keep acknowledging the favor of Allah. But you don't understand, the favor of Allah, saying alhamdulillah, recognizing ar-Rahman, just recognizing it, is actually something that can save the world from a lot of problems. It can save the world from terrible, terrible greed. Because one day you guys are going to be executives. One day you guys are going, among you are going to be presidents. Among you are going to be business owners. Among you are going to be doctors. And there, just to give you an example of a doctor, there's the right kind of doctor and there's a wrong kind of doctor. The kind of doctor that wants to save people's lives, wants to help people. He gets into this profession because he cares about humanity. Yes, he makes a good living, but he's not in it for the money. It's so much more than money for him. But then there's the kind of doctor who says, man, doctors make a lot of money. I saw this doctor, he was riding a Benz. Man, I want to get a Porsche. Why do you want to be a doctor? Well, you know, you see doctors' houses, man? That's why I want to be a doctor. And that's the, I hope I never have to go to a doctor like that one. Because they don't see me as a human being. They see me as ka-ching, ka-ching, money in the bank. That's what they see in front of them. They just get rid of me quickly and get to the next patient because all they care about is the more patients I see, the more money I can make. They're not going to give me a good advice that's for me. They're not going to tell me to take the medication that I need to better myself. They're going to tell me the medication that their pharmaceutical company told them to subscribe so they can get a cut, so they can get more perks. That's what they're going to do. Dishonesty in the most noble profession. This is, you guys are going to be in those professions and you're going to have to make a choice between honesty and dishonesty, between your own greed and your integrity, your character. But that will not automatically happen one day. It has to start now. You have to start thinking about other people from now. You have to stop being obsessed only with yourself. Yes, take care of yourself. Have a good time. Play video games. I don't mind. Keep it in balance though. You know? You know, someone said, Ustaz Noman said, you can play video games. That means I can go make Qiyam al-Layl tonight and finish Assassin's Creed 3 times over. You know, no, no, no. On the one hand, our deen allows us to relax. Our deen allows us to enjoy ourselves. But on the other hand, it prevents us from falling into extremes. Falling into just, you get obsessed with one thing and you're just completely immersed. But I said to you today, my khutbah is focused on this scene from Judgment Day. So I want to bring you back to that scene and tie this first half of my khutbah with the second half of my khutbah. As I explain this scene to you, I'll start with something that happens in a classroom. I used to be a teacher myself. And I'll tell you a scene that happened in the classroom. When I first joined a school, I used to be a teacher at an Islamic school many centuries ago. And when I was there, I decided that I am not going to be a strict teacher. I'm going to be the kind of teacher that walks in and he makes all kinds of jokes, tells all kinds of funny stories, and maybe teaches something along the way. That's who I'm going to be. I'm going to be the cool teacher. And so I walked in and I told some crazy jokes, I did some magic tricks, I did all kinds of stuff, and the kids loved it. By the time the class was over, I got like a standing ovation. I was like, this is awesome. This is so cool. And then the next day I did the same thing, and the third day I did the same thing, and then I said to myself, okay, now these guys are my friends. Everybody in second grade is my friend. Now when I tell them to open up chapter 5 and start reading, they're gonna listen to me because they're my friends. But when I told them to open up chapter 5, one kid raises and goes, tell us another joke. Another kid goes, hey, do that trick with your ear. I'm not gonna show you what that is. Another kid goes, I don't want to learn. Do something fun. Do something crazy. Make me laugh. I'm like, no, guys, I'll do that later. Just open up chapter 5. We don't want to. And they started there was a revolution in the classroom. And I don't know what, these second-year-old innocent little kids were now monsters I could not control. And they were about to eat me alive. And all this craziness is happening. And there's this one kid, I still remember him. He's got a pencil in his hand, and he goes on the back wall of the classroom, and he starts writing his name. And as he's writing it, he looks at me. And then he keeps writing. And I'm looking at him, and he's looking straight, and his friend looks at him, and he goes, hey, he sees you. And he goes, yeah, but he's a nice guy. You know, so... But you know what I did? I realized this is bad. This is out of control. I've done too many nice things for them, and they've decided to take advantage of me. I was only doing nice things for them because I want to do nice things for them, but also they have to give me something too. They have to do some studies too. But these kids are now just running amok. There's this total chaos and anarchy in the classroom. We have to restore order. So when the period was about to end, this craziness, this zoo was about to come to a close. Just 1 minute left in the class. You know the kid who was writing stuff on the wall? You know what I did? I said, Kareem, can I see you after class by yourself? Oh. When I said that, there was a silence in the room. There was no but. I didn't call everybody out. When I was saying, everybody calm down, everybody sit down, everybody come on guys, please just listen to me. Just listen. No, nobody would listen. When I said, Kareem, can I see you after class? By yourself, please. Complete silence. Complete silence. You know why? Because when you take one student and you pull them out and you pull them into the office or you pull them into the classroom and say, and just doesn't matter what you say, even if I don't even open my mouth, if your teacher did that to you, or if your principal said, can I see you in my office? And they just called you. Your heart is going to be beating so hard, it's going to be up to your throat. That's what's going to happen, even if he doesn't say anything. But you know what? At the end of it all, I said, Kareem, I didn't yell at him, I didn't tell him, send him to prison. I just, Kareem, I'm really disappointed with what you did today. And I don't want to talk to your parents about it. But can you promise me that you're not going to do that again? And he was almost in tears. Kareem was almost in tears. And he said, I promise. Okay, you can go. All right. I'll tell you, that was a long time ago, many centuries ago. Now I teach adults. I don't teach kids anymore. I teach adults. And it works the same way. Just for fun sometimes, I'll take a student who's like, you know, and we teach Arabic at our program, and there's a student studying, and they have a break, and in the break they have a table tennis, like a ping pong table. They have a pool table. We used to have a PlayStation, we got rid of it, you know. So they were playing pool, and I took one student and I said, Adhan, could you step into my office, please? Is everything okay? Yeah, inshallah. Let's just talk in private. And I'll bring him into my office, I'll sit him down, and then I'll sit in my chair across the desk, and then I'll tell him, actually, you know what? It's probably better if you close the door. And then he'll close the door, and I'll sit on my desk, and I'll say, where did I put that? And I take some papers out. Where was that? And I only have empty papers in front of me. I'm all pretending. Where was that? And he's sitting there sweating. He's like, his life is flashing before his eyes. You know, all the good things in his life he's remembering. You know, he's thinking, how am I going to write farewells to my parents? And, you know. And then at the end of it all, now that I see the nervous look on his face, I just wanted to say, you're doing a fantastic job. Have a good day. Go. But so I do that with my students. But I do that just to remind myself that when the teacher pulls you out and singles you out, it's terrifying. Now Allah is telling you to be grateful. Allah is telling every human being to be grateful. And by the way, the number one word among young people that illustrates that they are not grateful is the word whatever. It's the number one word, whatever. Your parents are telling you to pray, whatever. You see something amazing, instead of saying Alhamdulillah, what do you say first? Whatever. You're not grateful, and then there are people who care so little, they can't even complete the word. They say, whatever. They don't even complete the word. They care that little. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Because when you're ungrateful, you are defying Allah. But when you're defying Allah, He doesn't punish you. He doesn't come after you. He doesn't pull you into the office. None of that's going to happen with Allah, except it's not going to happen yet. So He says, سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ. We will make a lot of free time, especially for you, أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ. Two groups, meaning all the massive population of jinns and all the massive population of human beings. You guys think you're getting away with stuff? You're not. You know why the word thaqalan is used? I won't get into grammar or technical stuff. That's not for you. I'll tell you something though. There's a couple of hundred of you sitting in here. If one of you is on your phone right now, I don't know about it. If one of you is texting right now, I have no clue. If one of you is quietly talking to one of your friends next to you, I don't have a clue. I mean, I see some of you doing that. I don't see all of you doing that. There's a girl back there on Facebook. I don't have a clue. I don't know. There's no way for me to know. And you know what? You start thinking when you're in a large crowd that you can get away with stuff. Who's he going to come after all of us? He can't do that. He's not going to pick us out. And imagine if I picked one of you out by name and embarrassed you. That wouldn't be a lot of fun, would it? But you know what? When Allah says that, He says there are people who sin on this earth, who are ungrateful on this earth, but they think to themselves, there's way too many of us. Allah's not going to come after me. Like, seriously, all these people Allah's going to check? Allah says, excuse me, I will free myself up just for you. Each and every one of you. You think you're that many, huh? You think you're that many. And then that, فَبِأَيِّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. What favors of Allah are you still willing to be ungrateful for? What more do you want to deny? What more of the awesome things Allah wants to do for you are you willing to just ignore? And then finally, this is one of the most incredible scenes of Judgment Day recorded in the entire Quran. And in order to understand this scene, I'm going to paint another scene for you, maybe something that's easier for you to understand. You have sometimes in movies, astaghfirullah, you have sometimes in movies cops chasing a criminal. Right? The cops running after a criminal. And the criminal is running away, he's jumping over fences, and he's like climbing over, like, you know, trash cans and things like that, and he's just running. And the police is running after him and he's saying, stop, freeze. Hold it right there. And then he's not listening, he's just getting away. But imagine a crazy situation where the cops are running after a criminal, and the cop gets on the big giant mic and he goes, hey, could you run a little faster? Could you put some legs into it? You call that a jump? Why would police officers do that?
The only reason the police would do that is they know he's already surrounded. So go ahead, knock yourself out, run as much as you want. Go ahead. There are people who don't care a thing about Allah. They have this whatever attitude throughout their whole life. Judgment day begins. The sky starts ripping open. The earth starts shaking. The mountains start leveling out. Things are going nuts on this planet. And they realize they are now going to stand trial in front of Allah. So they decide to run for it. They think they can run away from Allah. And human beings, we only have the capability of running around on the earth. Jinns have the capability of flying. So the jinns that were criminals on the earth, they think they can just fly away and get out of this trouble. Get away from it. In another scene, Allah describes, كَأَنَّهُمْ حُمُرٌ مُسْتَنْفِرَةٌ فَرَّتْ مِنْ قَسْوَرَةٌ Like mules that are running away from a lion. You know, like animals that are eating their food and a lion comes and they just make a run for it. Or birds that fly off, you know. They're going to try and do that, but what does Allah say? يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ Gathering, an announcement is made across the planet. Gatherings of jinns and human beings. إِنْ إِسْتَطَعْتُمْ If you are capable, أَنْ تَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُذُوا If you want to cross beyond the boundaries of the skies and the earth, go ahead, run if you want. Go ahead and run, see how far you get. لَا تَنْفُذُونَ إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانِ You're not going anywhere except with the proper authorization, without the proper authority. You're not going nowhere. That's the scene described on Judgment Day. Surah Ar-Rahman is focused on one idea and one idea centrally. And that is the idea of getting across the seriousness to the people who are ungrateful, to the people who don't thank Allah enough, the people who don't appreciate what they've been given. That is why فَبِأَيِّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ keeps coming up over and over and over and over again. How much more ungrateful could you be? How much more oblivious could you be? How much more carefree could you be? Why don't you care? Why don't you think? As I leave you for this khutbah, I'd like to give you a small homework assignment. Let's start by being grateful to our parents to start with. That's an easy one. Because most of you, as you're becoming pre-teenagers and teenagers, you guys complain about your parents a lot. My mom, gosh, she gets so angry. My dad, I asked him, I wanted Grand Theft Auto 8 straight to hell. But he didn't get it for me. You know? You complain about your parents a lot. But your parents are one of the greatest gifts of Allah to you. If not the greatest gift of Allah to you. Show gratitude to your parents. Thank your parents. You know what you should, and you're like, what should I thank them for? I mean, they don't do anything. Thank them for putting up with you. Thank them for being patient with you. Thank your mother for giving you birth and almost dying. Thank your father for working long hours at his office, long hours running his store, doing whatever he does, you know, exhausting himself so he can pay for your stuff. He can get you things. Thank them for putting you in an Islamic school. That's not a small thing that your parents have put you in this school. That's not a small gift from them to you. Well, what's the big deal about that? Yeah, you don't know. You don't know. There are kids that lose their Islam in school. I've met teenagers, 11, 12, 13-year-olds that used to be Muslim, that lost their Islam because they went to school. Because they went to the wrong school. Because of their friends at school. The very gift of Islam you have is because Allah has given your parents the means and He's given them the strength to sacrifice to give you this kind of an education. That's not a small thing, be grateful to them. That is your assignment. I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal makes every single one of us grateful. And I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal does not make us of those who have to run in fear on Judgment Day. That those that are protected in the shade of Allah, they don't have to run anywhere, you know? Allah makes us from those people. And if you want to accomplish great things in life, become grateful. Because once you become grateful, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ Allah will increase you in ways you couldn't even imagine. If you're having a hard time in math class, in science, if you're having a hard time in English or in Arabic class, you're not doing any better, you're hoping you could do better, but you're not doing better, guess what? Become more grateful to Allah, Allah will open doors for you. Your studies will become easier. You'll get better at basketball. You'll become more athletic. Oh, everything in your life will start getting better when you become grateful. So I pray that Allah makes you grateful young people. that are an example for others all over the world and especially all over the city. Barakallahu li wa lakum wa assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa khususan ala afdalihim wa khatam an-nabiyyin Muhammadin al-Amin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا